Let's face it, these days, if you're not online, are you even really, like, present?
It's almost like a prerequisite for participation, especially in a country as digitally advanced as Sweden.
Right. So you sent over the Swedes and the Internet 2024 report, and, well, gotta say, it's a bit of an eye-opener. I mean, on the surface, super tech-savvy nation, but then you dig a little deeper and you see that digital literacy, inclusion, it's not a given.
It really underscores how technology, it's not just about having the shiniest gadgets, right? It's about making sure everyone can actually benefit from it.
100%. Yeah. Case in point.
Yeah.
The report says 95% of Swedes, like 15 and over, are online.
Wow, that's almost everyone.
Yeah, practically. And it's been holding steady since 2023, which is pretty impressive.
It is, but...
there's always a but.
Yeah.
Right. And this time it's a big one because behind that impressive stat, there's a pretty big digital divide happening.
Yeah. And that's where the whole thing gets, you know, really interesting. Because Sweden loves to boast about, like, near universal internet. But the reality is there's a lot of people, especially the older generations, who are really struggling to get a handle on this whole digital world. It's telling that almost everyone who's not online in Sweden is a pensioner. And once you hit 75, that number, it just takes off.
Yeah, it's like they're on the outside looking in. And it's really noticeable among, like, older women in particular. There was even a quote in the report, this one woman saying that older women, they feel like the free digital generation. Mm. Yeah, it's kind of sad, you know, to feel left behind by something that's become so crucial, like whether it's communicating with your grandkids or, you know, just accessing basic services. It's all online now.
That's a really good point. It really highlights the need for digital literacy programs that are specifically designed for older folks.
Mm-hmm.
And not just, you know, getting them online, but actually teaching them how to thrive in a world that feels more and more complicated every single day.
Totally. And, you know, it's not just the older folks who need a hand. Get this. 1 in 5 Swedes need help with online stuff.
Really?
Yeah. And that includes people who are, like, working age. 1 in 10 of them, to be exact.
I guess we all feel that way sometimes.
Oh, totally. I mean, how many times have you been, like, staring at a computer screen thinking, how did I even end up here?
Oh, all the time, especially when something breaks. One person in here even said that every time their computer crashed, they felt like their brain went with it.
Right. It's that feeling of total tech defeat. But the point is, even in a country like Sweden, needing a bit of help with tech stuff, it's more common than we might think.
It really makes you think about, like, what does accessibility actually mean in our digital age? And are we doing enough to be inclusive?
Big questions. And speaking of which, this whole thing about Swedes needing digital help, it kind of ties into this weird paradox we see in the report. Sweden, they're all about those e-services, right? Like 70% are using digital mailboxes now.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good, right?
On the surface, sure. But then you look closer and almost half of all pensioners, especially if they're over 75, they're just not using them.
So just having the tech isn't enough, clearly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's got to be user-friendly, especially for folks who didn't, you know, grow up with a tablet in their hands.
Right, right. And when we talk about e-identification, something that's super important for accessing all those essential services, well, that gap, it gets even wider. So overall, EID use is at 93%, pretty much everyone. But then you look at pensioners, and a full quarter of them, they don't have it at all.
And that's a huge barrier. Essentially, it's like saying you're not invited to the digital party.
Not very inclusive, is it?
Yeah, not at all. And speaking of things that haven't quite caught on, the report talks about these digital ID cards. You know, they've been around for a while, but...
let me guess. Not really taking off.
You got it. Only 20% have actually activated them, even though 60% know they exist.
What do you think the reason is? Lack of trust, maybe? Or just they don't see the need, think it's too complicated. It makes you realize just having the technology isn't enough. Building trust, making things easy to understand, maybe even challenging those preconceived notions, especially for the folks who might be a bit tech averse, that's crucial. What do you think?
Yeah, it's definitely a multi-layered issue. There's no one-size-fits-all solution, that's for sure. But hey, let's move on to something a bit lighter. The report also had some really interesting findings about social media. What are Swedes doing on Facebook and Instagram these days?
Oh, that's a whole other rabbit hole.
And I have to say, some of it surprised me. I mean, we already know social media is kind of like everywhere, right? And Sweden's no different. Like, almost every single person under 60 is on some kind of platform.
Totally. It's like how we live now, right?
But here's the thing that I found interesting. Social media use in Sweden, it's kind of plateaued since 2021. Really, I would have thought it'd be going up.
Right. It's not drastically changing or anything, which is kind of a surprise. And get this, for the oldest internet users, like the ones born before the 50s, it's actually declining.
Huh. That's pretty interesting. Wonder if maybe the pandemic had something to do with it. Like, during those times, social media, it was a lifeline for a lot of people, especially older people who might have been more isolated. I mean, now that things have calmed down, maybe they're, you know, not feeling the need to be online as much.
Yeah, like maybe they got a taste of the digital world because they kind of had to, and now they're like, okay, I'm good. I'll just choose how and when I want to be a part of this.
Exactly. More on their own terms.
Right. So within this whole social media landscape, the report breaks it down by platform, and there are some, I don't know, I thought they were kind of funny, these little details.
Yeah.
Like YouTube, it's top dog.
Of course, everyone loves a good video.
True, true. But here's the funny part, at least I thought it was funny. Men are using it way more than women.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Makes you wonder, like, what are they watching? Is it different stuff? Are men just spending more time online, you know? Or maybe it's something else entirely. It'd be fascinating to dig deeper into that.
For sure. Like, are there certain groups who are being underserved, you know?
Sure.
Are the platforms missing something?
Definitely something to think about. But yeah, so we've got YouTube at the top, and then there's Facebook holding steady but losing some daily users.
Yes, the era of constantly updating your status, it's maybe fading out a bit.
Right, like who has the time? And Instagram, they're staying pretty consistent.
Not a huge shock there, but
yeah.
I did see a jump in usage among, get this, 10-year-olds.
10? Seriously? That seems awfully young to be on Instagram.
I know, right? Mm. I mean, at what age is it appropriate to be on social media? And what does it do to these kids, you know?
Big, big questions.
And while we're talking about the younger generation, Snapchat, surprisingly strong, especially with the Gen Z crowd, or as the report calls them, the 00 Talisterna.
Haha, I kind of love that.
Me too.
Yeah.
It has a nice ring to it. But yeah, so you've got these big players holding strong. Meanwhile, newer platforms like Mastodon, Blueski, they're barely even registering. Like 1% or less are using them.
Yeah, that's the network effect, right? The more people are on a platform, the harder it is to break into that market.
Totally. Like trying to crash an exclusive party where you don't know the host.
Yeah.
But anyway, moving on from just like which platform Swedes are using, the report, it also goes into like how they're experiencing social media, the good, the bad, you know, the whole shebang.
Oh, yeah, because it's not all sunshine and roses, right?
Exactly. So on the plus side, 27% of Swedes say social media actually makes them feel more connected to their community, especially the younger folks.
Yeah, makes sense. In a world that's increasingly digital, it's like your online community, it becomes this important social space, you know.
For sure. And then 26% said they find a lot of value in those interest-based groups, like for support or advice. It's kind of like the modern-day equivalent of a town square, right?
Yeah.
People coming together to talk about what they love or, you know, share their experience.
Yeah, exactly.
And speaking of those groups, the report actually gives some examples of, like, the popular topics.
Yeah.
Women, they're all about animals, nature, gardening, parenting, that kind of thing.
Very wholesome.
Right. While men are into cars, IT issues, home renovations. Oh, this one I thought was interesting. Energy solutions, like heat pumps and solar panels.
Interesting. Very practical. You can really see the different interests there, even within those online spaces.
Totally. But, of course, we got to talk about the downsides because, well, there's always another side to the coin, right?
Always.
And in this case, a whopping 40% of Swedes, they're admitting that they waste too much time on social media. And this feeling, it's especially strong among women, especially if they were like born after 1980.
It's the scroll. It just sucks you in.
Tell me about it. And then there's that whole comparison trap, you know. 13% of Swedes say that comparing themselves to others on social media, it makes them feel, well, not great.
Yeah, it's the highlight reel effect. Everyone's life looks perfect online.
Right, and you start feeling like you're not measuring up. And, of course, there's a gender gap here. 20% of women say they feel negatively impacted compared to just 5% of men.
That's a big difference. It really highlights that pressure, especially on women, to, like, conform to these unrealistic beauty standards and lifestyles that get thrown around on social media.
Totally. It's like this constant reminder that what we see on these platforms, it's not always, you know, real life. It's carefully curated.
Exactly. It's important to keep that in mind. Behind every, you know, perfectly filtered photo and witty caption, there's a real person with their own struggles and insecurities, just like us.
Absolutely. So social media, can it be a great tool for connection and community? Sure. But got to be mindful. It's so easy to get caught up in that, like, online perfection that we forget that, hey, everyone's fighting their own battles.
Exactly. It's all about balance. Enjoy it. Connect with people. But, you know, prioritize your mental well-being above those curated online personas.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Eh.
But, hey, ready for another topic shift? This report, it also dives into news consumption habits in Sweden.
Oh, this should be good.
And guess what? You guessed it. Generational and political divides, they're at play here, too.
Well, that's not a huge shock, is it? I mean, it seems like these days almost everything has some kind of divide running through it.
That's a reflection of what's happening in the world, just playing out in our digital lives, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so news consumption. Tell me more. What did they find?
So over half of Swedes, 53% to be exact, they're getting their news from social media platforms these days.
Wow, over half. That says a lot about, you know, how the whole media landscape is changing. Social media, it's not just for, like, cat videos anymore.
Not at all. It's a primary news source now. Although I'm sure it varies by age group, right?
You know it. The 50 and 60-year-olds, they're the ones glued to their feeds for news. But the younger crowd, especially those born in the 2000s and 2010s, they're not really following traditional news outlets that much on those platforms.
Interesting. Makes you wonder, where are they getting their news? Are they going to, like, alternative online sources? Or maybe they're just not as interested in, you know, the traditional news formats.
It's a whole new world out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, back to the report. And this is where the political part comes in, how people get their news in Sweden. It's heavily influenced by their political leanings.
Which, again, not super surprising. People tend to gravitate towards sources that confirm what they already believe, right?
Confirmation bias. It's a powerful thing.
It is. But yeah, the report found that people on the far left, they're more into outlets like SVT Nyheter, Sveriges Radio Ekot, Dagens Nyheter. While the far right, they're leaning more towards Expressen, TV4 Nyheter, Svenska Dagbladet, Dagens Industri.
It's like a whole different media universe.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show how our news consumption, it can actually reinforce those political divides, you know?
Absolutely. And here is another layer to consider. Almost half of Swedes, like 48%, they say they're coming across news on social media they wouldn't have seen otherwise.
The algorithm, it knows all.
It really makes you think about the role of those algorithms in shaping what we see, what we believe. Are they helping us broaden our horizons, you know, exposing us to different perspectives? Or are they just creating these echo chambers where we only hear what we want to hear?
It's a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Totally. But, okay, we're talking about news. Social media can't avoid the big, bad M word.
Misinformation. Yeah, that's a whole other beast. So how are Swedes doing in that department? Are they good at sniffing out the fake stuff?
Well, there is some good news. A good chunk, like 45%, they're taking steps to verify what they see online, checking sources, cross-referencing, you know, really being more discerning about the information they consume.
Okay, so they're not just hitting that share button without thinking.
Exactly. But, and this is where it gets interesting, the report also found that while men, they're more likely to actually double-check their facts than women.
Hold on, so guys are more likely to be fact-checking?
It seems that way. However, and this is a big however, men are also more likely to share news without verifying it.
Wait, what? So they'll check, but then they'll also spread it around, even if it's not true. It makes no sense.
It does seem a bit counterintuitive, right? But it just goes to show you, online behavior, it's complex. Could be a mix of things, maybe overconfidence, maybe just that desire to, like, be the first one to share something interesting. Who knows?
It's like a digital paradox.
Yeah.
But it definitely highlights that we need to, like, understand more about how people approach information online. Why do we share things? Why do we believe certain things?
Exactly. And it shows that everyone has a part to play in stopping the spread of misinformation. It's not just about fact-checking yourself. It's about being mindful of what you pass on to others.
Be the change you want to see in your newsfeed, right?
Exactly. Okay, ready for one last topic shift?
Hit me.
Let's talk surveillance versus privacy. It's a debate that never really goes away, does it? How do we balance security with individual freedom in this digital world?
It's a tough one. So what did the Swedes have to say?
Well, get this. A whopping 91% of them, they support giving the police access to private online conversations if it's part of a criminal investigation. And this opinion, it's been pretty consistent since 2023.
Wow, that's a pretty strong stance. But I'm guessing the younger generation might feel a bit differently.
You're right on the money. Younger Swedes, especially those who grew up with the internet, they're more likely to say, hey, that access, it should only be for serious crimes.
Makes sense. They're more aware of, like, online privacy issues. They've grown up with it.
Exactly. Now, when it comes to things like camera surveillance, you know, with facial recognition and all that, that's where things get a bit more, shall we say, interesting.
Oh, how so?
Well, 70% of Swedes, they're okay with it if it's being used to prevent crime. But you guessed it, the younger crowd, they're pushing back saying, hold on, what about our privacy?
Yeah, that tracks with everything else we've talked about. It's like they're more cautious about these technologies. You
know? Totally. 37% of them oppose camera surveillance with facial recognition compared to just 17% of those born in the 20th century. That's a pretty big difference.
It's a generational divide for sure. It'll be really interesting to see how these attitudes change as technology keeps evolving, you know. Will we become more comfortable with these things, or will we draw a line in the sand?
It's a question for the ages. But hey, before we wrap up, you mentioned something about the report having a funny side.
Oh yeah, I almost forgot. This one's a bit more lighthearted. Apparently a lot of Swedes, they're convinced their phones are listening to them.
No way! You mean like that whole thing about your phone recording your conversations and then showing you targeted ads? I thought we debunked that myth.
We did.
Yeah.
But the belief persists. It's like a digital urban legend.
I guess some things never die, even in the digital age.
Right. But it does make you think there's this underlying anxiety about technology, right? This feeling that we're being watched, listened to, even when we're not.
Totally. It's that creepy feeling when you're talking about something and then bam, an ad for it pops up on your phone.
Exactly. Coincidence? Maybe. But still, a little freaky.
For sure. But hey, maybe that's a good place to leave it for today. This deep dive into Swedes and the Internet 2024, it's been enlightening, to say the least.
It has. From digital divides and social media trends to news consumption and even those, shall we say, creative interpretations of how technology works, we've covered a lot of ground.
We have. It just goes to show Sweden, even with its tech-savvy reputation, they're grappling with a lot of the same digital challenges as the rest of the world.
It's a global conversation, isn't it? And we've all got a part to play.
Couldn't agree more.
Well, on that note, we'll wrap it up for today. To our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the fascinating world of Swedes and the Internet. We hope this has given you some food for thought, maybe even inspired you to look at your own digital life in a new light.
And who knows, maybe next time you see a suspicious ad, you'll have a good laugh about it.
Exactly. Until next time, stay curious and stay connected.